And it's coffee time with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Pour your cup. We'll be with you right after this song.
Roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score, don't be weak,
don't be weak,
as they sow they will reap, turn the other cheek and don't give in, that old wheel will roll around again,
play ball for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does,
when it does.
It will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And that it will. Thank God. Thank God Almighty. And when it rolls around, coming up will be the guts of snakes smeared on the rim of the wheels. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Peters, and I got my Radio Ranch Wranglers with me. Well, I got just Jason. He's hooked up by telephone down there to the Port Church of Christ. Are you there, Jason?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we got smiling, charismatic Kyle, and he's there with his Bible raring to go and right and ready, Richard. Good morning, Richard and Kyle.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And we all say good morning to you out there, because this is Passover morning. Starting at noon today, well, you got to adjust for that 1 o'clock daylight savings time stuff, but high noon, that's the beginning of the Passover day, and it goes, solar day does, from noon to noon, and this late this evening, about starting 6:30, we're going to have live streaming at the internet and, of course, on radio and satellite. We're going to have a worship service starting about 6:30, and about 7 to 8, we're going to have a communion message. And you take communion on the Passover day, and this is a most important day to be doing that. We'll talk more about that in this particular Radio Ranch Wrangler coffee time chat, but we just want to remind you, if you've been baptized in remission of sins, you don't want to miss this Passover of this year of all years. And we'll, like I said, later on, men, as we talk, let's make sure we talk some about this book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy. Can that be read at the website? Or?
Jason, that'd be a question for you. I don't think we've got it back up at the website, being that it's still
which one?
Under construction.
Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy.
I don't know.
You know, we're redoing websites since we got crashed and burned on the other one. So anyway, that's what's going on around here. I always like to just see which one of my ranch wranglers comes out of the chute first with whatever he's got. Looks like Kyle's ready to go. He's a raring up there. Okay, the gate's open.
Well, I don't know about being raring to go, but you mentioned, you know, it's a good Passover to take if you have been baptized for the remission of sins. But if you haven't been baptized for the remission of sins, do it. I mean, what are you waiting on? You know, death? I mean, that's what's ahead of you, you know. I mean, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out when you said that. But I was, you know, thinking about the Passover and thinking about all the deception in the land with, you know, the Easter thing and everything. You know, it just, you know, and then lately, I don't know what year it came into play, somewhere in the 1900s, a stupid phooey name, you know, that everybody uses. And these are all just deceptions to keep you from truth. You know, I mean, and all these lunar people out there, you know, they seem to be the ones that mainly use a different name.
Yeah, you know? They do. I think it runs, it's a Jewish thing. It's the leaven of the Pharisee.
You know, and so I was just reading a little bit here in 1 John about the Antichrist, you know, and you know, 1 John 2nd chapter, verse 21 and 22, says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. And it's just, you know, those are the lunar lunacy people. You know what I mean? When I first came into this message, I didn't realize that there was Antichrist amongst us. So I went to a couple gatherings, a couple camps, and I met some people that I thought were pretty decent people, you know. And they invited us to some feast things. And there must have been, I don't know, 100 people at one of the feast things I went to. And I was the only one there that used the name Jesus Christ. Now, they put me on the spot. You know, there a few people gave testimony type things. And you know, and I noticed that everybody was using that other word, you know, that other name. And then they called me up, because I was the new guy in the crowd. They called me up to give kind of a testimony of how I got there. Well, it came to the part where, you know, I needed to say the Lord's name, Jesus Christ. And things are racing through your mind as you're speaking. And I'm thinking, do I say that name? Do I, you know, and finally I'm just like, I'm saying the name I know, you know. And so, you know, I said, you know, thank Jesus Christ for bringing me to this Israel truth, you know, and you know, and it was kind of a weird place to be, because, you know, I knew that, you know, they thought they were so much more advanced than me for speaking that other name. And then as the weekend went on, it was a weekend thing, I realized that not only were these people enemies of Pastor Peter's, they were enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but it took me a little while to get to know that, you know, we're not all on the same page in this gathering. There's lots of different sects of people.
I bet they started treating you like a leper.
They did. You know, I mean, you know, people would come in as the weekend went on, you know, that didn't hear my testimony, and they would say, you know, hey, you know, I'm so and so, you know, what's your name? How'd you get here? You know, and I'd say, well, I went to Pastor Peter's camp, and you could just see this look come on their face, like, oh crap. You know, like you were the anti whatever, and it's quite amazing, you know. But anyway,
well, that's a good story. What do you got out there, Jason?
Oh, well, I was thinking about the Passover and kind of excited that it's here. You know, last year I felt that, you know, it was the most important Passover that we've kept in a long time, and this year I feel stronger about it. You know, if people, and I know that there's a lot of people that have just come on board and they're learning stuff too. And last year, you know, we put out and told people that even if they haven't been baptized, but they're thinking about it and they're planning on doing it, you know, keep the Passover. And, you know, it is so important to do. I was reading that John chapter 10, verse 9, and that was one of the scriptures that you used in the Passover messages that you brought in the past. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And, you know, entering into that Passover for this year is what's going to save a lot of people, I believe. Because I believe that there's plagues coming. I believe there's fires coming. And we don't know what's on the horizon. But when we're in Christ and we enter into that door, enter into our rock through the door, Jesus Christ, we do it by keeping the Passover. And it's there's hardly anything being taught on the Passover properly out there.
Hardly anything. You know,
people are talking about the Passover. They're talking about a Jewish Passover, you know, following it, like keeping the Passover by the moon.
You talk about insanity, man. You talk about lunacy. They go to the Antichrist. Those that deny that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is Antichrist. We have churches in our land that are going to the Jews and saying, tell us how you keep the Passover. Did you know that?
Yeah, well, I've talked to several people, and that's how they want to go to the Jews, and they want them to teach them how to keep the Passover, how to keep the Sabbath. And
you talk about insanity.
It's insanity. It's complete churches, insanity.
These churches will even have a rabbi or a Jewish leader come into their churches and teach on these things. It is, you know, talk about the pot calling the kettle black, but you know, I mean, it's like going to Sarah Brady and saying, "Hey, what's the best gun to carry? You know, how should I do this here?
I carry a 380 or a 9mm?"
Right, right.
Well, you know, it sounds vain, but it's the truth. The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, the truth that is in this book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy, is practically, to my knowledge, not out there anywhere. I don't know of another ministry that is teaching this. Now, when the Lord says remnant, he means remnant. And you're going to stand up for the truth, you'll find sometimes you're standing alone. And these people, the book addresses keeping it by the moon versus keeping it by the sun. Watch the Passover, the people that keep the Passover by the moon. Every year, it's someplace different on the calendar. It's like a drunken sailor with a blindfold on trying to throw darts at a dartboard. It's just like the same thing with Easter. Well, when does Easter fall this year? Could be whatever. It right. varies all the time because it's lunacy. It's based on a lunar calendar. Whereas with God, his people kept a solar calendar, and it was always the 14th day of Abib. Take it or leave it. And if you want to take the truth, get the truth on this, get the book called Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy. It's about 90 pages. Send an offering and write to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Because I want to tell you something, friends. It's not too late. This day, Passover Day, is so important that God Almighty has given people a second chance to keep it. And in the law, if they missed it on the first time, 30 days later, which will be May 2nd of this year, they could take it. So that gives you 30 days. You can learn about it. On May 2nd, this pastor will be doing a live streaming and administering communion from 7 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. Mountain Time. And Jason, I think we might just stream that live right from my office. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that'd work.
Yeah, I want you guys to see my office, what the Radio Ranch Wranglers did to it when I was gone on my little vacation. But anyway, enough said on that. Back to you, Jason.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, Revelation verse 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." And when we keep this Passover, we can the promises that are available in Psalms 91. And if you read Psalms 91, there's a lot of promises that we should be tapping into right about now.
Oh, wow. Is there
everything
ever
that's around us, we've got this radiation. And I think that I was talking to somebody, had somebody stop by last night, and they were kind of freaking out and talking about the radiation. Oh, this is it. You know, they're not telling us the truth. There's more radiation out there than the news is letting on, and they're finding it here and they're finding it there, and he was scared. And I told him, I said, "Well, are you going to keep the Passover?" and was like, well, yeah, I'm going to keep the Passover. And I said, okay, well, you know, we keep the Passover, we're Christians, you know. The rest of the world has something to fear, but when we are in Christ, we don't have anything to fear. He can look out after us, and it doesn't matter how much radiation's out there. It, you know, it will not, these plagues will come, and they won't affect our tent. They won't affect our camp, you know, and there's going to be people falling all around you, and it won't affect you. That's what Psalms 91 says.
It's exactly what it says. Let me read some of it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. You will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent.
Amen.
Boy, can you imagine what it was like there in Egypt on that night that death angel or whatever you want to call it came by to kill the firstborn of every family, you know, and they're closed themselves in their houses with the blood on the doorpost and the lintel as that death comes, you know, now how it came, you know, a mist or whatever, I don't know how it came, you know, but what I do know is they were inside taken of that Passover, you know, so that death angel would pass over them, you know. And it just when Jason was talking there, I was just picturing that, you know, you can put whatever on your skin or take whatever tablets you want, you know, and I'm not saying not to do it, I'm just saying what you need to do, you know, is put that blood on the doorpost and the lintel and take of that Passover meal.
Yeah. Well, and some of the thoughts that I had is we've talked about how so everything's about frequency, you know, and when we are, well, first of all, radiation's a frequency, and it's a wavelength, and it goes forth, you know, coming off of these reactors or whatever, it goes up into the ionosphere, it comes down, there's radioactive fallout that carries the frequency of radiation, which is what affects people. Well, one thing that people don't realize is when we're baptized into Christ, there's a transfer and there's a change there. And I think that it can change us, you know, that it makes it where some of these things, our DNA, our frequency, our bodies, everything changes. And no longer does that radiation affect us. You know, there's a difference. This, it can be, you know, they've studied out and they can show that they can build a biological weapon that can affect one kind of DNA and not another kind of DNA. The Lord has his plan and has his way of work, and he's a lot better scientist than some of these guys that have been working on these weapons trying to kill people, and he knows how to save his people.
Well, and I, you know, you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, I think there's that one verse in there, you know, where they're going into the, you know, fiery furnace, you know, and they're saying how they trust in the Lord, but they even say, but even if he don't, you know, basically, even if they burn up, they're still trusting in the Lord. You know, it's just an attitude, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And obviously he did save them out of the furnace, but I always marveled at that one verse where it's like, and even if he don't, you know, we're still trusting in the Lord.
Well, and then you look at the counter, okay, say it doesn't work, what happens? We take a dirt nap.
Right.
And we rise again. I mean, you know, that's the truth.
Absolutely. This is what it's all about. We live, we do not die in Christ. We live on. Hallelujah.
Well, and I was looking at, it's kind of interesting, one of the headlines, I think it was yesterday, says, going underground, sales of spaces in U.S. doomsday bunkers soar 1,000% after Japan quake reawakens nuclear fallout fears. And I looked at some of the pictures on some of these fallout bunkers that they got in this article, and then they got these things all over the place. And there's this one, they got pictures of this one that's somewhere in Nebraska that they built out on the prairie of Nebraska. It's all underground, and it had 960 rooms in it, and they sold out after this Japan scare.
They sold the rooms out?
They sold out, yeah. They sold all the rooms.
Yeah, I seen in Burbank, California, they had some guy on the news that he was, you know, into selling the, you know, end time stuff, you know. Well, he said that people were coming in buying these radioactive suits, you know. And he was laughing, saying, you know, I think it's kind of crazy that these people are, you know, rushing in here to buy these radioactive suits. He goes, but I'll sell them to them. You know, I have them. So he didn't say how much they cost, but I imagine they're quite a penny, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, these rooms are going for $25,000 a person. In these underground bunkers here, or out here in Nebraska.
Yeah.
And then they don't let you, they have all these stipulations and requirements that only allow you to go in it if this happens and if things get so bad and if 90% of the population could be killed off. And
did they have AAA discount?
Hey, say that article. I might use that for my sermon this evening. I got to have a sermon this evening. I got to have a sermon tomorrow morning. So pray for me a little bit. I get these sermons done. I'm trying to be led by the Spirit, and I think the Spirit's leading me for the Sunday morning message. A message that's called He Shoots Dogs. But I want to read this, and then we'll get to Richard here. He's feeling left out. I haven't hardly covered him yet, but
I'll just pour me some more coffee while I'm waiting on you there.
Hey, listen to this, Jason and Kyle and Richard and people. Isaiah saw exactly what Jason had to say here about the underground. It says here in Isaiah 2, verse 18, but the idols will completely vanish, and men will go into caves of the rocks and into holes of the ground before the terror of the Lord and before the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. In that day, men will cast away to the moles and the bats. Now, moles live underground. Bats live in caves and darkness. Their idols of silver and their idols of gold. In other words, they'll pay $25,000 for a hole in the ground, which they made for themselves to worship, in order to go into the caverns of the rocks and the clefts of the cliffs, before the terror of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to make the earth tremble. That tells me earthquakes. And there's one place I don't think I want to be when the earth quakes.
Underground.
No. Underground. Yeah. Stop regarding man whose breath of life is in his nostrils. For why should he be esteemed? In other words, stop being scaredy cats of what all they can do. You know, they can do this, they can do that, they plan this, they plan that. You know, everybody fears everything but God Almighty. And old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not fear the king's edict. And they said, we're not bowing, and they didn't burn. They didn't bow, they didn't burn. And even if they did, they weren't going to bow.
Amen. We're told all throughout the Bible to, like, just like you said, Pastor, to fear him. Jason mentioned Psalms 91, and you read it. Psalms 91:5, you will not be afraid of the terror by night. That's a, you know, that's not a request. To me, that's a commandment. You are not afraid of the terror that comes. You know, it may come. The plague will not approach your tent. You know, that might be a good Sunday school lesson sometime. It's just to teach Psalms 91. To our people, even locally and on the ministry as well, because it is sure calming to me to read this, to understand that it's there. It's one of the promises that comes with baptism, like you said earlier, Kyle. It's Passover. Passover Day is fast approaching in just a few hours, and you need to be baptized. If you're not, why tarriest thou? Go get baptized, because when that judgment does come, you know, we face death and then comes the judgment. Give that to him. You know, he's paid the price for it, but you've got to do what he tells you to do to become a Christian, to be able to follow him and to have your dominion changed from darkness to light.
Yeah, and it's like you said, I mean, it'd be good at Sunday school or whatever. It'd be good for it to be preached that the plague will not come, you know, against your tent, because faith comes by hearing, you know. Mm-hmm. And how do you hear? You know, well, Jesus Christ, our God the Father, have sent preachers out. You know, I mean, there's not very many of them right now. In fact, I can only think of one. But that's how you get faith. I was reading last night, you know, in that passage, I think it was Romans 10 or something, you know, where it's talking about faith comes by hearing, and you know, how can you hear unless it be, you know, unless it be they be sent, and you know, and you're gonna hear, you know, lots of things that put fear in a normal person's life coming in the days ahead. You know, you're gonna hear it on the news, you're gonna hear it from your neighbor, you know, and what you need to do is you need to hear the Word of God preached, because I mean, and I'm a great witness to this. Until you hear the Word of God preached, you might believe it, but you don't have faith in it.
Right. Right.
You're not ready to go out and apply what you've been taught.
Right.
You know? I mean, what a difference it is to, you know, in belief and faith. There's a big difference there.
We're told right here in Psalms 91:14, I will deliver him. But right before that it says why? And it's because he has loved me. Ooh, that coffee sounds good. It's because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. And we're told, you know, Jesus said, you know, if you love me, what? The angels are playing on high. How about that? You know, Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And yep. So I think you could put that in here to Psalms 91. Because he has kept my commandments and loved me, therefore I will deliver him. You know, where is it? Matthew 5, that Jesus says he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Not one jot or tittle. You know, I shared that with one of my volunteer firemen the other day and just got that, you know, blank look. Like, how can the Bible say that? You know, how can the Bible say that?
Well, Jesus said, when I return, will I find faith? There's so little of it out there anymore.
And as you just heard, people, we don't just listen to Gene Autry and Sons of the Pioneers out here. We have some classical music, too.
That's right.
Hey, you want to hear some music that would be very fitting about now?
Sure.
How about you, Jason?
Sure.
Let's have a song. We'll be back. Well, pour me a cup.
The Eastern world, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Don't you understand what I'm trying to say? Can't you feel the fears I'm feeling today? If the button is pushed, there's no running away. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Take a look around you, boy. It's bound to scare you, boy. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. Yeah, my blood's so mad, feels like coagulating. I'm sitting here just contemplating. I can't twist the truth, it knows no regulation. Handful of senators don't pass legislation. Creation, when human respect is disintegrating, this whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction. You may leave here for 4 days in space, but when you return, it's the same old place. The pounding of the drums, the pride and disgrace. You can bury your dead, but don't leave a trace. Hate your next door neighbor, but don't forget to say grace. And tell me over and over and over and over again, my friend, you don't believe we're on the no, you don't believe we're on the eve of destruction.
I thought that was a fitting song to play. And I want to say that there will be those out there saying, I don't believe it. What kind of loving God would ever do such a thing? I just don't believe that. I believe that. And you tell me that we have a God of love and he's going to do all of that. Well, there's some out there that think that way.
Oh, there are.
There are. Well, why that song was playing, do you mind if we jump back just a minute or two real quick?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, I pulled out a paper that I had here that was on the 91st Brigade. Are you guys familiar with the 91st Brigade at all?
Yep.
Well, in World War One, the soldiers of the 91st Brigade agreed to recite the 91st Psalm on a daily basis. They got up, they recited it every morning. And the soldiers of the 91st Brigade were in the three bloodiest battles in World War One. And while other units that were in similar battles had up to 90% casualties in the unit, the 91st Brigade did not suffer a single combat-related casualty.
91st Psalm. We got a great big poster. It's in closed in glass and framed. My first wife that I had for 33 years before cancer took her gave that to me in 1990. And you notice, Richard, on the wall there, she's written on there, my dear husband, keep preaching the gospel. And she gave me that 91st Psalm.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, that's a good point to make. And We've got to encourage the people's faith out there. This is the real deal. You know, Paul said there would be in the last days those that hold to a form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Yep. We got to go back and start not denying the supernatural power of God Almighty.
Right.
When those children of Israel came out of there on that Passover, they would have never dreamed that God was going to open up a Red Sea.
Right. It was beyond their imagination.
Absolutely.
Well, and you take this 91st Brigade story, I mean, there's no way that they can disprove. You can't say that it was anything else, but our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ looking out after those men, it was nothing else.
Right.
It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't luck. It wasn't karma. It wasn't anything else. It was God Almighty taking care of his men who did what they were supposed to and took a hold of the promises in Psalms 91.
And claimed them and did that. You know, it reminds me of Gideon and his 300. Was listening to the radio yesterday, had the short or the broadcast on, and you were talking about that, Pastor, with at the time of David facing Goliath and then again at the time of Gideon. And it was like, where was the safest place to be? You know, where were there no casualties? And it was with Gideon and his 300. Because they claimed that as well.
Yep.
They claimed it. They knew that that promise was there. They were in his will.
Well, that's really where it we says there be. In Psalms 91, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand.
Yep. And you will just see the recompense of the wicked. Oh, Lord, I pray for that. For they are wicked out there. I'd like to, if we could, move over to Romans 9. I asked you on the break, Pastor, talking about this destruction. Romans 9:22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, so that tells us that he has a wrath and he has his power and he will make it known. So what if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? So there are vessels out there, and right before that, it's talking, you know, you think, oh, what are these vessels? Well, right before it, and you mentioned it in this next newsletter coming out, Pastor, if you back up just a little bit, in verse 20, or verse 21, or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? So, you know, basically, God is the potter. We are the clay. He creates the people. He has some that he has mercy on, some that he pours his wrath out. It says that in 23. And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand, even us. But he does have, there are these vessels of wrath that he endures that are prepared for destruction. And Thursday night this week, I saw firsthand some of those. They had a political speaker come into the university. Now, about a year and a half ago, we had talked about they had this left-wing, communist, antichrist, son of hell, son of the devil, terrorist Bill Ayers come in, who is just that. He's a friend of Obama, and he's a professor back east. But he has a record a mile long, you know, trying to blow up places in Washington and police stations and things like that. But he got off on a technicality. He's a terror. He's a son of hell. So he was their speaker a year and a half ago. Well, this year they had a right-wing Republican, staunch conservative come in, Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter's this tall, long, blonde-haired right-wing conservative speaker. And they, you know, the university Republicans had her come in, and they had a packed house. It was no charge. But there must have been 500 people there, protesters outside. And I just kind of went to just, you know, hear the double talk, because that's all she put out, you know, was the right-wing rhetoric. But even in the things she was saying, you know, she said that she didn't think that women should be able to vote. And then 5 minutes later, she's talking about the greatest, you know, right-wing women Republicans. You know, they're not supposed to vote, but they can run for office, and that's okay. And talking about how the best, you know, the best Republican man out there is a Republican woman. But anyway, I just mentioned that because I just looked around. About half of the people there were college students at the University of Wyoming. And of maybe a handful there do not fit this bill or fit this description of being vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. Because there were queers, and there were flaming faggots, and there were lesbian dykes, and it was just filth. And it reminded me, in a way, of the story of the prodigal son, where he's just wallowing in the pig slop and loving it. And that's just where those people are. They just wallow in their filth. They put their, you know, what they are. They handwrite it on their shirts. You know, saying that they're disrespectful and filthy and stink, physically stink, just begins to describe them. And this is little University of Wyoming. You know, they got, 10,000 students there. And it is like this all over the country. It just brings to mind that you know, these people do not want to repent. They're like that woman in Revelations that wipes her mouth and says, I've done no wrong.
Let me read a scripture. It seems fitting. Romans 1, 28 through 32. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them.
Yeah, that is those people. And I'll put a word out to all those listening to us. And that is, you need to not have your children in the public education system.
Absolutely.
You need to not have your children in the public, state, whatever you want to call it. Because the University of Wyoming's like every other university. They're state-funded. You know, if you want your children to fit this category of what you just read, then send them to those schools. send them to those universities. You think they're going to be a bright light? No, they're going to be corrupted, and they're going to be taken over, and they're going to be destroyed for eternity.
Evil companions corrupt good morals.
It absolutely will.
Do not deceive.
It absolutely will. The one real true thing that I heard her say was they had some question and answers, and one young man got up and he said, Miss Coulter, thank you for coming and speaking. He said, I'm a 17-year-old homeschool student here in Wyoming, and I'd like your thoughts on what we can do to fix the public education system. And she laughed, and she said, well, you're already on the track. She said, if I had it, she said, everybody ought to be homeschooled. And, you know, this is to a university full, you know, a room full of university students. But, you know, she was telling him what he wanted to hear, you know.
Well, that's what they do.
And exactly. And so, but anyway.
Well, to go along with what you read there in Romans, Richard, and with the song, we're on the eve of destruction. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Amen.
Good fitting scripture. You know, there's a scripture, since we're talking about Peter, and I think I'll bring it out in the sermon tonight. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, it says, who are protected by the power of God through faith. We're protected through faith. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, he's writing to Christians who have already been born again. And he's saying to us Christians, there is a salvation yet to be revealed. And it's going to be revealed in the last time. And now, it goes on to say, and I think it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, where Kyle was reading. Let me turn over there. See if I can find it. The Lord, in verse 9, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now it occurred to me, the mercy of God is seen on this Passover of April 2nd in this respect. The solar day begins at noon. So that means that from noon on Saturday to noon on Sunday, you got to adjust with daylight savings time so you can say 1 to 1, is the Passover day, the solar day. Now, on Sunday morning, there will be millions of Christians that take communion. Amen. And they don't know that they are actually keeping the Passover. Now, in the old Passover, you killed the lamb and you ate it. And you applied the blood to the doorpost. In the new covenant, the lamb is Jesus Christ. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away sin. He was killed. His blood is applied to us in the act of baptism. And we eat the Passover lamb in communion, which is to be done on Passover day. And our God is not willing that the saints perish. And so we do have Christians that are not forsaking the assembly. I'm talking about those in the Church of Christ and the Christian churches, they do have baptism down, and they'll be taking communion, and they'll be keeping the Passover day, and they didn't even know it. Isn't that something?
That is something.
It is.
That is. That's
great. Now you think about the eve of destruction, you know, this is the 14th day of Abib of the year 2011. Now, Jason, why don't you tell everybody out there what 11 means?
Destruction.
Absolutely. I mean, I mean, you might just, oh, brother, what a coincidence. You know, hey, you know, take it serious. I mean,
yeah.
Well, and since we were reading in 1 Peter, I had written down here to read that 1 Peter chapter 13, or verse 13, and I think it's kind of fitting, too, just for the times that we're living in.
What it chapter? Says,
what's that?
What chapter?
Chapter 1.
Okay.
It says, therefore, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And like you said, there's being that grace, and I think it is a graceful thing this year that you look at when the 91st days land on, you look at the days that the Passover lands on, and I think the Lord's being grace, extending that grace and being merciful to people and allowing some of them to keep it, and they don't even know it.
Yep.
Pastor, when you read 2 Peter 3:9, it jumped out to me. It says, but is patient towards you. You know, having children, you know that it takes them a while to get things and concepts, and you have to have patience toward them. It's sure comforting here to know that in his grace and mercy, he shows patience towards us. You know, 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when we, I know when I and my wife came into this message, I look back and thank God he showed patience towards us then, and still does today. And then, Jason, that verse you read, prepare your minds in 13. You know, in 14, he goes on and says, as obedient children. And then a couple pages later in 1 John 2, the same thing. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And we are to be as children before God. We are to be mighty warriors that come boldly before his throne as David and David's mighty men did. But we are also to be as little children in believing what his word says and obeying what it says, not counting it as foolishness. But when we see it, when we read the Psalms 91, you know, I in my house, we believe that as sure as, you know, we believe day is day. That 1,000 will fall here and 10,000 over there, but it won't come to us. Like you said, Kyle, whether we have the iodine to rub on and take or have this or that, you know, we feel that we know we're under his wings. We are protected by his shield.
Amen. Well, men, we're running down to the end of the hour, but I feel spirit led to play another song. Seems very appropriate. It's a song from our songbook. I think it's songbook number one or number two. Let's hear it. I'll be back.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Chiefest of sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. I will pass over you.
Judgment is coming, all will be there. Who have rejected, who have refused. Oh, sinner, hasten, let Jesus in. Then God will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Well, time's passing by. We don't have a lot of time left. And our time is about to run out. Before it does, I want to take time to introduce our new prayer for the month of April. Jesus said in Luke 21:36, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Jesus taught us to pray, "Deliver us from evil," Matthew 6:13. And the prophet Habakkuk had a prayer in Habakkuk 3:1. Says, "I fear, O Lord," that's fearing God, "I fear, O Lord, revive thy works in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known, in wrath, remember mercy." And the prophet Joel said for his people to pray, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and do not make thy inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say, where is their God? Then God will be zealous for his land and will have pity on his people." Joel 2:17-18. And here's the prayer. It's short, and I encourage you to pray it. Let's pray it together. Our Father who art in heaven, hear and answer our prayer, offered in the name of Jesus Christ, our King, your Son. We claim and plead his blood over us, over our kinsmen, and over our country. Deliver us from evil. Give us the strength to stand, to escape all the things that are about to take place. And have the strength to stand before the Son of Man. We have heard the report about thee and fear. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And Lord, I want to add, make that mercy on your people, not upon the tares.
Amen.
Spare thy people, O Lord, and do not make thy inheritance a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say, the people, where is their God? Amen. Jason?
Yes, sir.
Adios.
Good night. Or good day.
You don't know night from day, boy. You're supposed to be.
It's still a little bit early.
That it is.
Charismatic Kyle, keep on smiling.
I will, sir.
And right and ready, Richard, you got work to do. Hit it, boy. And yep. We go out on that song, Snake Hide. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless those of you that are his, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep the Passover. Remember, it's not too late. You got 30 days. It gives you enough time to get baptized and keep the second Passover.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling. Though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
Oh, there.
they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them over, ride them over, ride them out, ride them out, ride them over,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
Ignoring judgment day, yet I know for sure what's coming, and that's what bothers me. Folks must give their lives to Jesus,
and he will set them free.
Jesus freed me from the system. I know my life is fine, moving down the road of life now. I walk the line far from the sinful prison. That's where I want to stay. I was baptized in the water. My sins were washed away. I was baptized in the water. All my sins were washed away.
We're stuck in Satan's system, and time keeps dragging on. But the Lord is coming,
he will rebuke the wrong.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, child, always
always be a good boy, don't you ever run wild. She talked about Lord Jesus.